We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 5 p.m. Going to lock in the guys here. We have Speaker Tim Jones and former Senator Jeff Smith. Hello, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Dave. How are you guys?
Everyone's good. Everyone's doing well. Beautiful weather out there. Everyone's in a good mood.
Doing good, Dave.
Let's start with the obvious. Let's start with the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And first, let's just talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself. Jeff, why don't you tell us what you thought of her?
I mean, obviously, a trailblazer who created a tremendous legacy on the court. I think, you know, it's pretty one of the neatest things about this last week and all the remembrances was reading and learning more about her, her very close friendship with former Justice Scalia, to see the way that they kind of bridged their ideological divide and became so close was pretty neat. Kind of reminded me of me and Tim, actually, you know?
So many things about those two remind me of you guys.
I'm not sure who wears the robes. Maybe both of us.
That got weird.
But, you know, I mean, I think, you know, as a Democrat, you know, and as somebody who generally agreed with her views, you know, obviously, you know, her death is tragic under any circumstances, but obviously, you know, more difficult given the timing and the kind of flip-flop of Senate Republicans versus what they were saying 4 years ago. But, you know, I get what they're doing. You know, they understand that, you know, raw power is power. And, you know, of course, they're going to look hypocritical, but it's worth it to have another justice. And so that's the direction that we're going in.
So, Tim, were you a fan? I know you didn't agree with probably a word she ever wrote, but were you a fan of Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Oh, absolutely, Dave. And you're right. Not at all her political philosophy. I think she was, you know, legally, philosophically, constitutionally, I thought she was abhorrent for the court. She was an extreme activist, right? However, I can respect the person. I can admire the person. If Justice Scalia can be friends with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, then I can absolutely admire the person. And boy, weren't they kind of a vestige of a long ago time of antiquity, right? Of really not that many years ago, of like, what, 5 years ago, when they were both on the planet together, and they were emblematic of an era that unfortunately seems to be gone on the federal level. I still think it exists on the state level. I mean, look, Jeff and I are sitting here talking to you every other week or so and doing it in a civil way. We extremely disagree with each other without being disagreeable. And that's in the mold of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, of Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton, of people who have been married, right? Mary Matlin and James Carville, you know, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Hey,
George Conway and Kellyanne, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Justice Scalia. I mean, I think people, I bet there's a bunch of people out there that believe that that was all a joke, right? That there's no way those two were friends, but they did. Their families actually vacationed together. So wouldn't it be wonderful if we could kind of get back to such a time again where you can have competing political philosophies but still respect people as people and even like them as people? But, yeah, I mean, her political philosophy, not at all a fan, but her as a person, very much a fan.
So, Tim, I like the way that that Jeff summed up the Republicans moving forward with a pick and just saying, like, yeah, they have the power, they can do it, and the Democrats will throw up whatever roadblocks they can, but they're going to lose, and they're going to do it. That seems to me just to be like, yeah, here we go. Would you expect the rancor to just build as the actions on the ground actually take place as opposed to just being conceptual?
Well, you know, the Democrats have no one to blame but themselves for the absolute abhorrent conduct that they exhibited that we witnessed during the Kavanaugh hearings. Look, since 1880, I mean, you can say that the Republicans are doing this because they have the power. They also have like 100 and some odd years of history to support them. Since the 1880s, the party that's been in power with the president, the Senate party that's been in power with the president that's in power, has done the exact same thing numerous times. There's nothing new here. There's nothing different. The reason the Merrick Garland thing didn't go through was because the situation was different. The Senate was of a different party than the president. I mean, liberals.
And if people could have said that and been honest about it, then it would be one thing. But people weren't honest about it then.
I did.
4 years ago. 4 years ago, you've got 25 U.S. senators on the record 4 years ago saying, well, the important thing is to let democracy work and let the people, you know, have their say in November. And the majority of today's Republican Senate caucus is on the record saying that. So they weren't honest then, you know, and that's why they look hypocritical now.
Well, you know what, Jeff, if I was running the U.S. Senate, a lot of things would be done better. But, you know, maybe that's what they should have said, because that's the historical truth. You know, I like to point to precedent a lot and try to follow that as much as possible. Now, sometimes precedent does need to change, but that has been the custom and the precedent. Let's remember, Harry Reid was the one that started all this when he got rid of the filibuster for everybody under the Supreme Court level. And when he did that, the Republicans said, you better not do this because you're basically asking everybody to take it a step further. And that's what Mitch McConnell's done. He didn't start this. Harry Reid did, but Mitch McConnell has taken it further and gotten rid of the filibuster for the SCOTUS level. It is what it is. And you know, Tim is right
about that.
Yeah, the response from the Democrats now is, well, when we get in power, then we're just going to do more wrong stuff, like pack the court. I mean, no one has packed the court since, I think, the 1860s. FDR threatened to do it when he wanted to get the New Deal through, but he backed off because he knew ultimately that was a bad idea. We've been at nine justices for a very long time, and everybody on both sides of the aisle has thus far agreed that that's a good number to be at. So, you know, it's going to be an epic battle. I think the Kavanaugh hearings were why this has divulged into something that's been something it never should have been. You know, did you know back in the day, not that long ago, they never these SCOTUS nomination hearings were never designed to be the spectacle they've become. The idea of putting them on TV and having these long, drawn-out hearings and going on for days, they never used to do it that way. The president would nominate somebody, they'd kind of have a discussion about it, and then they'd vote. So it's become, like with everything else with politics, Dave, there's been a lot of political, unnecessary political theater that has been deployed by both sides.
So, Jeff, to what degree were you shocked? And to what degree are you actually concerned with the president's responses to, hey, win, lose, or draw, you're going to leave quietly and peacefully, right? And him saying, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't think anything that he would say could possibly shock me, and yet yesterday did. And he was given a second chance in that same, you know, kind of 50-second exchange with the reporter to kind of clarify and walk it back a little bit, and he didn't do that. Today, the White House sort of seemed to walk it back. I didn't keep up with every bit of the news today, but I saw Kayleigh McEnany say something this, you know, basically, hey, if there's a free and fair election, then the president will abide by it and we'll have a normal succession. I think seeing Republican senators come out today and say, of course there will be a peaceful transition, as there has always been in America, kind of isolated the president a little bit and that made the White House feel they needed to walk it back. But I mean, you know, it was just, I have to say, I am legitimately concerned when you look at all the steps that have been taken over the last few months, in some of the battleground states,
you know, the president kind of engineering moves in some of the early battleground states to ensure that ballots cannot be counted early. Ballots that are submitted and mailed in or voted in person early cannot be counted. That is a prelude, I'm afraid, to him saying at the end of election night, look, I'm winning, you know, I've won, and anything that happens now is the product of Democrat shenanigans. I'm afraid that's where we're going. And it's not totally dissimilar to what we saw, you know, during after impeachment when Barr, very wisely from a strategic point of view, got out there, framed the narrative, distorted what was in the Mueller report, but then made everyone else look like they were whining, you know, afterwards. And I think because we know that Democrats are so much more likely to mail in ballots than Republicans this cycle amid a pandemic, it is lining up for a scenario where Trump wins the votes on election day, you know, the people who vote in person on election day, but Biden wins the votes of people who mail it in. And if they're not able to be counted until after the election, that could work to Trump's advantage rhetorically and strategically.
In a very interesting moment, just this morning on Brian Kilmeade's show here in the station, he was interviewing the president about this very thing. And he said, well, if it goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says that Joe Biden is the winner, will you step down? And the president said, of course I would, but we have a long way to go to get there, which told me, okay, it's not going to be like martial law or anything. However, we're probably going to the Supreme Court.
And the president has pretty much said as much publicly. He said, we've got to get this done, you know, this nominee confirmed before the election so that they can resolve, you know, if the election goes to the Supreme Court. It's a shame that's, you know, that he's saying, hey, I've got to have a, you know, 6-3 advantage, you know, in terms of Republican appointees, you know, because of that expectation. But it reflects his rhetoric over the last few months as the polls show him in, you know, pretty stubbornly down 7-8 points in the national polls. And that number seems to have hardened. His rhetoric about the election being rigged has ramped up.
Tim, your thoughts on all this?
Well, yeah, first of all, you know, just like Bush v. Gore, right, took a long time for Al Gore to concede the defeat that was handed to him by the American people. Democrats didn't want to let go of the power strings there, that's for sure. So now when the shoe's on the other foot, apparently, you know, Donald Trump is the one threatening the democracy. Look, universal voting, where we just willy-nilly throw out ballots to anybody and their deceased relatives and their cats and dogs all across the land, combined with ballot harvesting in some of these deep blue states like California, is the biggest threat to electoral integrity I've ever seen in my lifetime. And it should be something the president and every voter should be concerned about. You know, whatever happened to going and voting on election day? And this excuse of using COVID-19 is ridiculous at this point, when hospitalizations and death rates all across the land are plummeting to levels that we haven't seen since it first began. You know, especially, remember 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when the college kids went back and there were all these stories about all the cases that were popping up? You haven't heard much about that lately, have you? You know why? Hospitalizations on college campuses for COVID-19 are under 2%. And you know what the death rate is? It's zero, right? This is just another excuse. They're attacking Donald Trump on coronavirus and his personality. And we should have an election day where people, if you can go protest in the streets, thousands of people, some wearing masks, some not, nobody socially distancing, and you can go to the grocery store, which a lot of people are doing, or you can go to Walmart, you should be able to go and vote safely, which we did in August. We all did it in August here in the state of Missouri, and we didn't have a single spike anywhere in the state on COVID-19. And so they're just using this as an excuse to attack the electoral integrity. And back to the polls. You know, the national snapshot is fun to talk about, but the only thing that matters, I guess, until the Democrats destroy the Electoral College, is the battleground states. And in the 7 battleground states that I looked at today, the polls are actually diminishing towards the point where they're all within the margin of error. I don't know, there may be maybe Wisconsin's outside of the margin, barely, but all the other battlegrounds are between 1 and 4 points between Biden and Trump. So this election's long from over. They declared it over a month ago when the national snapshot had it around 15 points. I remember the New York Times article on that. and now it's down to around 7. So it's been cut in half. And so we got a long road to hoe over the next 40 days. So, we haven't even had the first debate. I'm curious to see how Joe Biden gets through a three-hour debate with Donald Trump.
Guys, this is Tony Colombo. I wanted to ask you about that exact thing. So the debates, we're finally here. The first debate is on Tuesday night. We'll be covering it here on the station doing some post-debate coverage as well. So should everybody tune in? A little selfish plug there. But people always talk about the election's going to be decided by moderate voters or swing voters. Are there even any moderate or swing voters left? Can these debates really change minds? And what do each of you want to see your guy do? What kind of performance are you looking for them in the debate? Jeff, go ahead. Go first.
Thanks. Very briefly, just two quick points on the voting. First of all, 40% of people voted early in the 2016 election. And so I don't think anyone's using, the pandemic as an excuse to do something different, but it's a continuation of a trend in this country towards more states offering a mail-in option. And those states which have done so, states like Oregon, blue and red states like Oregon, states like Utah, have not seen any greater incidence of voter fraud since going to primarily mail-in voting. And in fact, Trump's FBI director, Chris Wray, today said, we have not seen historically any kind of coordinated voter fraud in a major election, whether by mail or otherwise. So I just want to get that out real quick. In terms of the debate, Joe Biden, I think what Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. and some others have done over the last 6 months has been such a great service to Joe Biden. And I mean that because in the same way that Democrats stupidly downplayed George W. Bush's rhetorical skills for months before those debates, such that all he had to do was basically show up and not slobber on himself and people said, hey, he was fabulous. I think that Republicans have made the same mistake Democrats made 20 years ago by mocking Biden as senile and sleepy Joe so relentlessly that if he just gets up there and does an okay job, I think he'll have exceeded expectations, much in the way he did in the Democratic debates. He wasn't the best debater on stage, but he didn't need to be, obviously, to get the nomination. So I just think he needs to keep the focus on, healthcare issues, the president's performance on the pandemic, which overwhelmingly Americans have disapproved of, and the resulting economic implications of that.
Guys, we have about 2 minutes left. Let's talk about the Breonna Taylor case in Louisville. I think we all agree that rioting and burning and vandalism is terrible and cops being shot is just ridiculous. But, Jeff, what did you think of the decision by the grand jury?
Well, I thought it was unfortunate that the only charge that was made was a charge related to bullets that went into the apartment of a white neighbor, which again showed that in the eyes of some people, black lives appear still not to matter. The facts of the case are pretty complicated, and we don't have time to go into all of them, but the fact that, there were still no charges brought related to Breonna Taylor's death, I think is what, elicited some of what we, the protests that we saw continue yesterday. And you're right. I and Joe Biden and most everybody in both parties condemns resorting to violence or looting. But I understand the pain that people feel right now.
Tim?
Yeah. So the point to make here is not every confrontation between the police and potential criminal perpetrators is racial. And despite how much Black Lives Matter, which is a Marxist communist funded group, right? The founder is an avowed Marxist communist. They're the ones ginning this up unfairly. Let's point out that Attorney General Daniel Cameron is a black man. He's an African American. I actually know him personally. He's the first elected black attorney general in the Commonwealth of Kentucky's history as a Republican. And so he was asked that question yesterday, and his response was basically what I just gave you. I'm a black man. I do not see this as a racial case. This was a drug bust gone bad, plain and simple. It didn't matter who was behind that door, black, yellow, brown, purple. They were potential criminal defendants. The police had a no-knock warrant but the local authority actually amended the warrant and made it a knock warrant. There is a witness that presented in the grand jury, and they're going to have to release some of this grand jury testimony to clear some of this stuff up so these riots can be hopefully quelled with the facts. A witness said that the police knocked on the door and said, the police are here. Then there was no response. They breached the door. Why did they breach the door? Because when you're, as a former prosecutor, I can tell you what happens in a drug bust when you're executing a warrant. They're probably destroying the evidence on the other side of the door. You've got to get in there if you're going to do anything with the warrant, if it's going to be valid. You're processing crime here. You're trying to enforce the law. So they breached the door, and guess who shot first? Not the police. The people on the other side of the door, the potential criminal defendants. It's horrible what happened to Breonna Taylor. And Attorney General Cameron said it once, if not a thousand times, in their press conference today. Nothing that happens and nothing that I can do, nothing anybody else can do, can reverse the fact that this is a tragedy. But what happened was someone was tragically killed during the commission of a crime while the police were trying to enforce a warrant to try and investigate that crime. Bullets flew. Someone unfortunately died. That's what happens when you're enforcing crime relating to illegal drug activity a lot of times around this country.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
Good to see you. Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Dave.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
534 DGS. Got a lot of great comments. Got a lot of texts from my friends saying that they liked that last segment. Let's change it up as we always do because this is the DGS. Let's do a report card. Let's get Andrew in here because Rachel put together a report card of
video game characters, but we'll know all of them. It's not like it's like the orc shaming game.
Look at Sue's face.
Well, you'll know a lot of
them,
these,
you
Sue.
Say. Okay.
You'll know a lot of them.
That's all right. I got Andrew.
So,
I'm not a video game guy.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
I don't have Andrew.
Character. You don't have Andrew.
No.
You're not a video game guy?
Character.
Oh. I was going to say, like,
I thought you would.
I've been lied to.
I misinterpreted.
No,
that.
You have not.
So these should be pretty recognizable to people. Most of them are like Nintendo.
Yeah.
We are starting off with a Sony character, but, you know, sometimes you got to do
doing,
it.
Got to break eggs.
A full three in each. Or two in each.
We haven't decided yet.
We have 18. We might just do 12, but let's do A plus through F.
I like to keep our options open.
Yeah. We'll just see how it goes. I'm going to let Tony rate those up there. Okay. Number one, Sonic the Hedgehog. And not the one that they just made a movie about because that thing was creepy, but normal old Sonic.
Is Sonic the Sony character?
I thought he was
Sega.
Sega. Oh yeah, that's not Sony. That's Sega. Yeah.
Here we go.
Was it Sega?
Here we go.
I couldn't resist him.
Sega is not Sony.
I'm serious.
That's my...
Wasn't Sega made by Sony?
No.
No, it's PlayStation.
Totally different.
I thought I was sounding cool too when I was like, I know a fact. No, you don't. Stupid. Keep your mouth shut. Yeah, Sonic
Man,
the Hedgehog.
Social media is blowing up right now.
Once again,
she's not even.
She's wrong.
She's not even touching her Twitter for the rest of the night.
I cannot trust her on anything.
Oh, I wanted to address Twitter. So I said the other day that I deleted Twitter from my phone, but now it's like every time I tweet, people are like, "Ooh, you must have re-downloaded Twitter." No, I can get on the computer.
Yeah.
The point is to just not have it on my phone, so I'm not looking at
so
it
not
all the time.
Constantly,
like you're banned from Twitter. Like every time you tweet it, at least someone has been like. Oh, look who's back.
Well, it's reminding me of the time where I said I was giving up social media for a week, And I clearly wasn't. I was on Twitter all the time, and people kept calling me out. And I'd straight up reply and be like, no, this is like the first time I've been on it. All right, Sonic. Anyone have any?
Yeah, Sonic was supposed to be Sega's answer to Mario. Like, mm-hmm. Mario was the, mm-hmm. such the Nintendo guy. They wanted a face. And I guess it worked pretty well. I mean, he's still making movies these days, but he never hit for me.
Did anything?
It was a fun game.
You.
Yeah,
but he never hit like as a mascot.
He nothing special.
I put him middle of the road, like C.
Yeah, I think C is fair.
I used to read the Sonic comic books because he had a good. I liked his attitude.
He did have a.
He did have
I'm
a
real close to just taking off early.
He had a radical attitude. Mm-hmm.
Listen,
so
if they don't
alone,
talk about Ms. Pac-Man, I'm pretty much out.
So
she's
that alone,
on there, Sue. Don't worry.
C for all right. Sonic.
Yeah, right. C for Sonic. We can mm-hmm. do C for Sonic.
What was the sidekick's name?
Tails.
That's
or Knuckles.
Tails is who I'm thinking of.
Okay.
All right, next up we have Nintendo's answer to Mario, which is Mario. A plus, right?
I mean,
A plus.
He's pretty great.
He's like the Mickey Mouse of video games.
A plus.
I'm playing
Mario
right.
Brothers 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, have we ever done
everything.
Like straight up Disney characters?
I don't think so.
I don't think we have.
That'd be a fun one.
Something
the
to keep in mind.
The first three Mario
folks.
Brothers games were my entire childhood.
Yeah, I'm playing Mario right now, actually.
Childhood. It so good.
I have watched a ton of Mario games. I played a little bit, but the kids both just loved them.
That's me with most video games. I've watched a ton. I've watched my brother
play. I love it. Like,
yeah, it's very relaxing.
I know now it's a big thing to go online and watch people play video games, but when Phoebe used to do it when she was little, I thought it was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. But then I realized I had done it for years. Mm-hmm. Like, I love sitting on the couch watching the kids
Man, right
play
now,
a game.
I'm not doing it on... I haven't even searched Twitch to see if anyone's doing it, but on YouTube someone played through the entire Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time game, and I've been watching like an hour of it a night, and it makes me so happy because I watched my brother play that when we were little, and it was
there are still people playing the first Mario, the NES game, Super Mario Brothers, playing it competitively, speed running it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the world record gets set every year or so.
Wow.
And there are still people that are
speedruns are fun to watch.
They are so much fun to watch.
Yeah, they're good times. Yeah. If you guys ever want to play video games, I got tons. I can lend them.
Come over
tonight. I can lend some out.
How fast do you think you could beat Super Mario Brothers right now?
I can't beat it at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that game's hard.
No, it's not.
All right. Speaking of Zelda, Link is up next. He's got his little green outfit on most of the time.
Oh boy, I loved the first Zelda game, and then I hated all of them afterwards.
Boy, I love a lot of Zelda games.
When
I liked Little Link better than
when he's a little kid.
Normal Link.
Yeah, he's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When, then he grows up into a jerk and he's just like a guy.
He's just
a dude.
Cut your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just a guy saving the world. That's so
when
fun.
I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
I'm the only I'm the only one in the pocket of this report card. Like,
mm-hmm.
These are all and
yeah, we tried
Monday
to pick
through
classic
Thursday
ones.
Were Mario Brothers episodes. But Friday was Legend of Zelda.
That was the
but
big
it
one.
And it was only Fridays. So to keep up with the Link story.
Are these your rules?
No, that was the way they did it.
Oh, I thought
that's
like,
how we
man,
watch it.
That's the way the
your
TV
OCD
show
is crazy.
Went. It was a daily TV cartoon.
Okay.
It was on every afternoon.
Okay.
But 4 days a week it was Mario Brothers, and it was one continuous story. But Friday was Legend of Zelda. And it was a totally different story, totally different cartoon. And but it was yeah, and it was so like
mm-hmm.
special. It was like, it's Friday.
Tony,
can't
you,
miss.
It's
Legend of Zelda.
Do you remember Captain Lou Albano?
Oh, yeah.
His performance as real life. His terrifying,
terrifying.
Upsetting
yes.
performance as real life Mario.
I'd put Link at either A or B. He's not Mario level, but he's just.
I think he's an A.
He's not too far below.
Remember the dance? Remember Do the Mario?
Guys, we got to get through the report card. We're definitely only doing 12. All right, next up, Sue. Not Mrs. Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man. Sorry, I don't know if she's married or not, but Pac-Man.
She's loose.
She's Woo! Married to Pac-Man, right?
This is the only one I know, so I say A+.
Plus. A+. Plus.
Right, it's a classic. It's a classic.
Gotta be A+. Plus. There's no
fruits or whatever.
It never happens without
Rich,
Pac-Man.
Did you ever play it at the
That's
Emos?
True.
Yes. At the Emos in Alton, did you ever play the Pac-Man machine?
No.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Come on, you knew the answer to that before you asked.
I thought she might play it. You know, it's Alton, it's Pac-Man. It's
I never
Emos.
Really like hung out at the Emos.
It's like
Alton.
Asking me if I dated a lot in seventh grade.
I mean, I've played games like that before.
Came
just not at Emos. Donkey Kong.
Oh, dang.
I forgot about
Ice-T
Donkey
and
Kong.
Game of Donkey Kong.
Oh, dang. I love
Kong.
How emotional Tony is over this.
I'm telling you, I'm like the one person
Donkey
that's perfectly
Kong
in the
Land
window
2
for
Game Boy Color. That was my jam.
There's a documentary called The King of Kong all about the controversy over who holds the world record in Donkey Kong.
That guy's a cheater.
The guy is a cheater.
Yeah. Billy.
These two.
I know.
Billy Miller.
They've never gotten along
Billy,
this well.
Billy. What is his name?
I can't believe I can't think of his
he
name.
He is a cheater, Tony.
Billy Wilson.
So no. Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong. How about B?
How about B? Yeah,
B,
yeah.
B, perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll write it in. You look up.
I got it.
Here's a
is
classic.
It Billy Mitchell. Billy Mitchell.
Here's a classic. I feel like everyone has played this on their school computer at one time. Frogger. You ever played Frogger?
No.
I have, yes.
I don't know how Tony feels about Frogger, but, I mean, Tony plays essentially Frogger every day.
Yeah, on Crossy Roads.
Yeah.
Do I have the Frogger in the office still?
Yeah.
Remember I brought in that little handheld Frogger?
Yep.
I think
Frogger's
like a B.
We had little handheld Froggers when I was a kid.
That's a solid B.
Yeah, I think he's a B.
So we're only doing two in a category because we're reminiscing so much. I don't think we can get through all 18.
Sorry.
Yes, we are.
No, you're fine. Let's do one more and then we'll go to break. This is Mario's best friend, I assume. I don't know much about their relationship. Are they brothers?
Luigi?
Is he older or younger?
Younger brother.
But he's taller. Good for
Luigi.
He's
taller and he jumps higher.
Luigi in his green clothes.
Now, isn't he kind of a bad dude?
No, that's Waluigi.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's their evil counterparts.
I gotcha.
Now, Luigi is more of an A-plus for me than Mario is. Luigi's got personality. He's a cutie.
Did he just say he's a cutie?
Yeah, Mario is a blank slate. Mario's a robot.
I was always that guy. I always wanted to play as Luigi, and I always wanted to play as Tails. That's why I was trying to wonder.
Because they're better.
Right.
They're better than the original. So I would actually knock Mario down to A and put Luigi
Mario
in A+.
I think Frogger's got to go down.
Luigi's scared of ghosts.
Take it
and
down.
Luigi's got to go to B.
Luigi's scared of ghosts.
Because I'm saving A for somebody else.
That's fine.
Okay, I'll
Let's
do that.
Let's do it. I don't know. I hope I have your pick on the list, Tony.
You do.
More of this when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. We're doing the report card of video game characters, and if we can get Sue to shut up, we might be able to get through this thing. She has an opinion on everything.
She knows everything.
Woof.
Luigi. Take it away, Rach.
All right, next up, we have Mrs. Pac-Man. The wife of
Mrs.
Pac-Man.
I believe it's
if we
Ms.
were doing a typical.
Is it Ms.?
I believe so.
Are there two?
There's Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man.
I think it's Mrs. Sue. I'm sorry.
Really?
Oh, it is Ms. You're
yes.
right.
Hmm.
Wow. Maybe they're brother and sister.
What's her pronoun?
Yeah, it's pretty much ahead of its time, isn't it?
Sure
isn't that
is.
Crazy?
I thought they were married. I really did.
Huh. I'm going to Google it.
They do.
They
oh,
do
they do kiss.
Kiss,
yes.
kiss
in the in
yes,
the
they
game.
Do.
Which doesn't
That's
necessarily
weird.
Doesn't
levels.
Doesn't necessarily discount them being brother and sister, but it does. I think add
now
credence.
You're talking.
It
this
does
was
add a little
a,
credence to it.
This was a typical report card, and we had three in each one. Miss Pac-Man would be the other A+.
I agree.
But she has to at least be the A.
I agree with that too.
I mean,
too.
Is Pac-Man really all that good?
Ms. Yes. Pac-Man is awesome.
Yes, because Ms. Pac-Man was a bigger game than Pac-Man.
Well,
Pac-Man,
I prefer Ms. Pac-Man to Pac-Man.
Pac-Man eventually married Ms. Pac-Man,
okay.
which would make her Mrs. Pac-Man. But
she went by Ms.
She went
eventually
by Ms.
She
married.
Was a modern woman. She was a modern.
Eventually.
They were shacking up for a while.
Yeah,
there.
Eventually married is a definite choice of words.
Why did I Google Doom Pac-Man and Mrs. Pac-Man married? Doom married?
Do they married?
Tony Google's like, this poor sap.
Well, somebody's lonely.
Yes, eventually they did get married, Rachel.
All right, next up, Bowser. He's the first bad guy, really.
Mm. Well, he's a frog.
You know why? Because I feel like he's going to drop.
Yeah.
I think Frogger's going to go down.
I could put Bowser in D. Bowser never really moved my meter much. He's
he
just like a
me.
Yeah, he's just like a big guy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
When Bowser shows up, you're like, oh great. Things are about to get really stressful. Next up, person you're always saving from Bowser, Princess Peach.
Aww.
I liked her because whenever I would occasionally play video games, it was like, you can be the girl.
And in Mario Brothers 2, she could fly.
She could float.
That's
she could
pretty cool.
Float. Yeah.
She had levitation
but it
powers.
Was a big, it was a big advantage.
How about we move one of the C's down?
Yeah, how about Frogger
in?
Goes down again, which yeah.
Okay.
I figured was going to happen, and we'll put Princess Peach in C.
He's just a frog that gets hit by a car.
I have a feeling that
he might.
Sonic isn't long for this world in
yeah,
C.
Probably isn't.
Next up, we have Yoshi.
Yeah, why don't you move Sonic for Yoshi?
No, I think Yoshi's a deer ass.
No, Yoshi's
Yoshi
the best.
Was like, kind of an icon.
Generational
I mean,
here.
Yeah.
He was an add-on late in the game.
Also,
he was,
that's Donkey Kong, not King Kong.
But they like the amount of Yoshi merch that has been sold, like especially in like early 2000s, it was like you would walk into Hot Topic and it was like that and the Crazy But Psycho
oh,
everywhere.
The amount of Yoshi merch that I own. I have a little knit Yoshi. It's very cute. He's light blue. He's cute.
Well,
sits,
let's put Yoshi off to the side.
He sits on his little Yoshi butt.
No, we'll drop Sonic down.
Okay.
Dave's making that face again.
So the last one I have. What do you think about Yoshi, Dave?
I know who Yoshi is.
You like him?
Yeah.
Last one on the list.
Two more.
Two. Oh. Really?
No, because Yoshi.
I got him.
Frog.
See?
Yeah.
Oh, Frogger. Sorry. F for Frogger.
I had Kirby, but you could replace Kirby
no.
with Toad, Daisy, not Daisy, Lara Croft.
No more girls.
Lara Croft doesn't
They're
really
all
like.
Fs.
Like fit
on this
in
list.
Here, yeah. Let's just put Kirby in F.
No, Kirby's better than all. No,
I
Kirby,
hate Kirby
is a Kirby is a B.
No,
no, Kirby's
no.
incredible.
Here we go, finally.
No,
get a little tension.
No,
what is this now?
No,
I don't really like Kirby.
Kirby
Andrew,
is
sorry.
The Billy Mitchell of this list.
Yes.
Kirby is perfect. He's cute. He's sweet. He has infinite power. He's precious.
He's
Look
he's
at that face.
Precious.
He's an F.
Look at that face.
I'm gonna
on
be.
This...
I'm gonna be you. I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be you to you.
No compromise. Yeah.
I have a question.
On this, yes. the day
it's
they announced the new Kirby mm-hmm. game,
isn't there a video game character called Glover? Or am I thinking
yes.
of the Stroganoff
there
guy?
There is a character called Glover, and he is the Stroganoff guy. He's not exactly
essentially the
but
same.
They look the exact.
Is it a good
same.
Game?
No.
All right. Perfect.
Perfect end to Dave's favorite report card ever.
Yes.
Kirby's going in F.
Hey,
Tony
I liked it better than
decision.
Sue did, so.
Put him in D.
All right, okay, who did you. We move down?
Bowser.
Aw, sorry, Bowser.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.